Some 20 years ago, when I first read The Power of Now by Eckhart Tolle, I thought, this is pure genius. And I still do feel that way. When I read it, I thought, oh, well, here it is, the secret to life. This is the only thing I ever need. On the cover of the book, there's an endorsement from Deepak Chopra, and he says, every sentence rings with truth and power. I thought, yeah, that's exactly how that feels when I read it. And inside, there are such beautiful gems, such pearls of wisdom, like the present moment is all you really have. Make the now the primary focus of your life. Or this. Now is your only point of access into the timeless and formless realm of being. And I love this one. One day you may catch yourself smiling at the voice in your head as you would smile at the antics of a child. This means that you no longer take the content of your mind all that seriously, as your sense of self does not depend on it. Well, that's profound, isn't it? You know, what it's really saying is that the now is all we have, and that our primary focus should be on the present moment. Well, that sounds really great, doesn't it? And then, of course, we wonder, how do we do that? Right? How do we retrain ourselves to stop stewing over the past or fretting about the future so that we can be fully here now? Well, in the book, Eckhart Tolle describes how he had his awakening, how he had this epiphany that brought him fully into living in the present. And for him, this happening was very sudden and dramatic. And he tells about it in the book. He describes how he had just turned 29, and he was going through a very hard time in his life. He was at a very low point. He was actually considering ending his life. And so on this particular night, he had the thought, I cannot live with myself any longer. And he kept repeating that thought, and he realized suddenly how odd it was. I cannot live with myself any longer. Am I one or two? He asked himself. If I cannot live with myself, there must be two of me. The I and the self that I cannot live with. Maybe, he thought, only one of them is real. And then he felt himself being sucked into a void in which there was no more fear. And the next day he awoke in a state of bliss. He saw the world through new eyes as a place of fresh, pristine, exquisite beauty, luminously alive. And he says that he continues to see life that way to this day. He explains what happened that evening by saying that night he stopped identifying with his unhappy and fearful self and discovered what he calls, quote, his true nature, the ever-present I am, consciousness in its prior to identification with form. Yeah, he knew himself as part of all that is, that beautiful God energy before it takes form. Well, this is really an inspiring story, isn't it? It's very amazing. I think we'd all like to have an epiphany like that, wake up one day and see life in this beautiful way and not feel our fear and worry anymore. And so when I read the book, I thought, gosh, that sounds so great, but does that mean we have to go through what he went through? You know, what about for the rest of us here? I mean, he got his enlightenment in one fell swoop, but what about the rest of us for whom that has not happened? And I really wanted to find out, does he ever have those moments when he has to work at it a little bit? Well, as it happened in 2008, I got the opportunity to ask him. I had the great honor and privilege of interviewing Eckhart Tolle for Unity Magazine. And actually, you can read that interview. It's still on the internet. If you Google The Awakening of Eckhart Tolle, it's under my former name, Paula Koppel. It's actually archived on his website. Well, in any event, during this interview, I finally got to ask my question. And I acknowledge that his awakening, his enlightenment, came suddenly, like seemingly in one fell swoop, according to the book. And then I said, you know, for the rest of us, we're trying to get there one step at a time, where we're trying to work our way into this. And so I wanted to know from him, do you ever have those times when you have to catch yourself? Have you ever had time since that night that you had to consciously pull your attention away from the past or the future in order to bring yourself back into the present moment? And to my great joy, he said yes. He said yes, that it hadn't happened just in one fell swoop with permanent impact. This is what he said. For the transformation to be integrated fully into my life took quite a few years. He said he became disillusioned while he was doing graduate work at Cambridge, and at first he liked it, but then it really wasn't working for him. And he says, it took a few years before I readily realized this is not where I'm meant to be. I almost touched on unhappiness again at that point. I had to bring myself back to the present moment. And listen to this, he says. It was like the mind tugging on my sleeve and saying, come this way towards unhappiness. And I had to say, no, I'm not going there. Wow. Well, in other words, in the beginning, even Eckhart Tolle had to practice this, just as we practice it. You know, we know that there's truth in this idea of being in the present moment, but it takes practice for us. It's unlearning some old ways. And similar to what he describes in that interview, we have to learn to notice. You know, it's all really about being the watcher of your own thoughts and noticing when you're drifting in one direction or the other. But being mindful enough to notice when you're getting that tug on your sleeve from the past or the future saying, come this way toward unhappiness, and having the presence of mind to say, no, I'm not going there. I'm not going there. You know, we realize that we can't change the past and we can't control the future. I repeat, we cannot change the past and we cannot control the future. Back to the point that all we really have is now. And when we go deeply into that, it sets us free. Well, Jesus knew this, and he wanted us to know it as well. He spoke a lot about the present moment. He even said the kingdom of heaven is at hand. It's already here, but people don't see it spread out upon the earth. And he talks specifically about the futility of worry. In Matthew 6, 25 through 27, he said, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is life not more than food, and the body more than clothing? I love this. Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And this is the clincher. And can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your span of life? The answer to that is no. You know, these days there's certainly plenty going on out there that people are worrying about as we look to the future, right? Like, is the pandemic going to get worse? What's going to happen to the economy? What's going to happen in November with the elections? Is the racial justice movement really going to make a difference this time? Or even wondering, are these deep divisions in our country going to get worse? All these worries, and that doesn't even touch what you're going through in your own life, whatever worries you may have about your health or your well-being or your job or finances. There's plenty to worry about. There's plenty of fear out there. But why succumb to it? Why? Why lose yourself in what may or may not happen? You know, certainly if we think about the future and it causes us to take mindful action now, that's great. That's being in the now. So for example, if you're thinking, oh, I'm concerned about what's going to happen with the pandemic, if that causes you to get more diligent about wearing your mask and keeping social distance, that's fabulous. If your worry about the election causes you to make extra sure that you've registered to vote and your information is up to date, that's wonderful. And if concern about racial justice causes you to use this time to get better educated, wonderful. But honestly, beyond that, worrying about the future is a complete waste of time. It's a complete waste of your precious life energy. And what it does is it creates a lot of stress. I don't have to tell you this, you know this. It creates a lot of stress and tension and anxiety and fear, maybe even at times despair or hopelessness. But the message here is that we have a choice. You see, we can catch ourselves if we're obsessing about either the past or the future and gently bring ourselves back into now. It's not that difficult to do. It's just noticing. Even just being aware of our senses, pay attention to what we see or hear or feel or taste or touch. I think I might have missed one there. Pay attention to our senses and notice and appreciate what's around us. When we do that, it brings us back into this beautiful, expansive energy of life. Well, this is a lesson that has been driven home to me recently in a very big and personal way. We've learned that my 2-month-old granddaughter, Maya, has some health issues. And so over the past few weeks in particular, my beloved daughter, Emily, and her husband, Rich, have honestly gone through just the most incredible challenges and getting just this whole barrage of tests done on little Maya over at the Children's Hospital of Philadelphia. Well, the results show that Maya has a rare condition that will need to be treated over the coming year. The probability is very high that at the end of that year, she will be absolutely fine. And for that, we are so, so grateful. Nevertheless, when the news came on Thursday, I fell apart. I fell apart. I sobbed hard. This is not what I wanted for my daughter or Rich or little Maya or for our family. It's not what any of us had envisioned, and it really deeply hurt. But since then, I've begun to really examine the pain that I've been feeling. And I ask myself, what is hurting me most? And what I discovered is that it's two things. The first is the great sadness over what this beautiful little family has gone through, had to go through. And the other is worry about the future. And I realized that what was intensifying my pain, not that there isn't cause for sadness or disappointment in this, but what was really intensifying it was my focus on the past or the future. I was making it so much worse for myself. And I was also, because I was focusing on the past and the future, I was missing the blessings of now. I was missing the glories of the present moment. I was missing this. I was missing this love, this joy, this vitality, this preciousness of right now, of this incredible little girl. And these parents were just so proud of them. I was missing the presence of God in every one of them right now, that vital, beautiful, healing energy capable of miracles. And when I called Emily, we FaceTimed, and I got to watch Maya discovering her hands with such delight and showing them to me. Everything else disappeared. This is what matters. When I turn my attention to now, all the rest of it goes away. And what I realize is that what's represented here is what's going to see us through whatever challenges are ahead. This love, this joy, this presence, this family. We're going to take it one day at a time because that's the only way we can take it, right? One day at a time. And as I say to my daughter Emily, we're going to love our way through this. I offer this story to you today so that you realize you have a choice. If you find yourself in a place of pain or suffering, that you can actually take a close look at that and realize, if you want to, you can relieve your suffering. You can look at how much of what you're experiencing is based on the past or the future and how you can relieve that pain by coming into now. And saying to yourself, one day at a time, man, that is just such a great affirmation. One day at a time. Say it with me. One day at a time. Again, one day at a time. You see, no matter what we're going through, what we're worrying about from the past or the future, there are blessings so abundant right now in our lives. Consider the birds of the air and the lilies of the field. Look around you. Appreciate the wonderful people in your life that you love and who love you. And do, of course, whatever you need to do today. Whatever you need to accomplish, of course, do that now. But then know that when tomorrow comes, you will be perfectly equipped to do what you need to do then. You will know how to handle it. You will know because God is in you, because that divine presence and strength and wisdom and guidance is a part of your very being. And you will carry on, and you will come through it. You know, in so many ways, this idea of living one day at a time is an act of faith. It's about faith, faith in divine order, faith in God, faith in ourselves, faith in humanity, and right now, faith in our country. So I'd just like to say this. This country has come through and risen to incredible challenges in the past. And I believe we are primed and ready to rise again. The stirrings of change are happening. We are moving, despite any temporary appearances, we are moving step by step into a new day and a new consciousness. And let me say how joyful and honored I am to be sharing the journey with all of you. Living now, step by step, one day at a time. Let's turn now to our meditation. I invite you to close your eyes and breathe in deeply. Release and let go. And one more time, breathing in this beautiful, calming, peaceful energy of God. And release. Take a moment to appreciate this moment. This moment. The feeling of love moving through us, the feeling of peace, the sense of connection with one another. Might ask ourselves, what problem do I have in this now moment? There isn't one. Breathe into this expansive presence, this supportive, nurturing energy of the divine. Feel your heart soothed and feel joy begin to bubble up in you as you appreciate this exquisite life you're living. All the gifts along the way, the gifts of right now. take this opportunity to breathe into gratitude for a few moments in the silence. Affirm once again for ourselves, one day at a time. I will live my life one day at a time, one moment at a time. Going forward from this service today with our eyes open, perhaps in a new way, remembering that when we get that tug on our sleeve to move toward unhappiness, that we have that power to say, no, I'm not going there. Thank you, God, for this truth, of which we are so deeply grateful. And so it is, so we let it be. Amen.